Welcome into season 2, episode 2 of the Alabama Adapted Athletics podcast. I'm Dominic Taylor, your host, along with Sean Burns, my wonderful co-host, as well as an assistant coach for the men's basketball team here at Alabama Adapted Athletics. First off, Sean, how you doing today? It's been a few weeks since we've had an episode, and I'm excited to get back here recording a new one. How's it going this week?
Good, man. Doing well. Had a little bit lighter day. We didn't have any practice today, no lifting. So, just had a meeting and just kind of enjoying a little bit of free time.
Yeah, definitely. Did you have a good 4th of July?
Yeah, it was very good. So saw some fireworks go off and, you know what I mean, came home, protected the little puppy right here because he doesn't like the fireworks. So, but yeah, it was good. I had a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, you know,
How about yourself?
Oh, it was great. I was just about to say my, I went up to Coleman, Alabama. And again, for our listeners here, you know, last time we had an episode, I discussed that I'm from California, right? So there's a little bit of a difference here, like where I live, and especially with, you know, the lack of water and everything. Fireworks are very much like, it's something that you do safely and you do in moderation, right? Right. That was something that, you know, when I went up to Coleman, they're firing off the like industrial grade, the ones that go 200 feet up in the air and explode, you know, and anybody can get their hands on those. And that's like, I was like, wow, that's, you know, that's incredible. We can't get that where I'm from. You know, you got to have a license, you got to have this and that, and you got to have a bunch of a specific area to do it. You got to have training and stuff. And man, I love it. You know, it's you felt the freedom really when you went up there. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was.
It's kind of crazy. Like, you just kind of see, like, I was driving home from where I was. I was going down 43 from Northport down to like towards downtown Northport, Tuscaloosa, and I kept seeing these big fireworks shows, and I was like, maybe that must be like the Tuscaloosa one that they do at the amphitheater every year on the river. And I looked it up and I was like, well, no, that didn't start yet. And you just see like on both sides of the road, you got these like massive fireworks shows. It's crazy, but it's pretty cool. Ours was a lot smaller. We just had like, Evan bought two of those little box things and, you know, they shot maybe like 50 feet in the air and had some of the ones that you hold and stuff like that.
That's awesome. Yeah, that is good. I gotta get my hands on some of those at some point. You know, that's going to be a goal of mine here coming up. I want to shoot off some industrial fireworks, you know, make my own little fireworks show one of these years.
Everybody becomes a little pyromaniac when fireworks come out. Huh?
No kidding. It's like the one acceptable day of the year where it's all right to be a pyromaniac.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, before the 4th of July, about a week before that, we were in a completely different state, weren't we? We were in Wichita.
Yeah.
Wichita. we were there and we got home safely, from Wichita, a story that we're going to be talking about here in a little bit. But, the reason we were in Wichita was for the NWBA Adult and Juniors National Tournament, a very important event in the world of wheelchair basketball. The Nationals Tournament, of course, held in Wichita, Kansas, the hosting city for this year. It kind of capped off a successful year of wheelchair basketball for the adult and juniors divisions. And the entire Alabama staff and most of the coaches were there in attendance. And Sean, you were going not only as a coach, but also as a player for the ABC Medical Legends Division II team in the world of wheelchair basketball. And first off, why don't you start off with just what you did there, not only as a coach and just kind of the recruiting side of things, but also, you know, what ABC Medical was doing there, the team and how you guys fared in Division II play.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, we were there to recruit juniors and even some kids that were, you know, playing on those adult teams that may not be in the junior league. So that's what we were there first and foremost. And then, you know, we had our college meetings and stuff like that. But yeah, we played also. It was, you know, myself, Ryan, Ford, Carolina, the four coaches, and then, you know, two people locally in Tuscaloosa, Caitlin and Brittany. And we, you know, we made it all the way to the championship game. We only lost two games. We lost twice to Fort Lauderdale, you know, once on a buzzer beater and then once, well, hopefully nobody listened, watched the championship game. But if they did, you guys know what happened. It wasn't pretty. But yeah, it was, you know, it was fun. We only had six players and, you know, three class ones on the court at all times. So it was interesting kind of just playing and going against some of these teams. And, you know, Fort Lauderdale had a great team. They had just, they had shooters everywhere. They had that big guy, you know what I mean? They had number 20. He just plays so hard. They were a good team. So it was fun playing, but it was really good seeing all the junior kids, man. There's going to be so many really good basketball players that are coming up. Not next year and the year after, but even, you know, the freshman class coming up, it's just, there's a lot of really good players and kind of seeing some of them play, like, just exciting to see like kind of where their development goes. And then really as a, you know, U.S. basketball, wheelchair basketball, there's a lot of promise, man. Like the next few years, like we're going to have a, you know, the future is pretty bright with a lot of these kids.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I was, you know, I was there. I watched almost every single game. Mm-hmm. I went as a play-by-play commentator. That was my role with this tournament, specifically the mm-hmm. the NWBA. For, you know, the fans that are listening, they actually reached out to our program and requested that me and, of course, Kelsey Temple, our digital media coordinator, come out to Wichita and actually put on this live stream because of the quality of the live stream that this program has put on before. The NWBA recognized that and wanted us to come out there and live stream this tournament. So that was a big honor for our program. And we were able to live stream. We did 17 games ourselves. And we also set up our equipment as well as trained a couple other members of the NWBA staff to live stream the other games that we weren't able to cover. Mm-hmm. And so we provided full coverage for the entire tournament. And that was a huge thing for our program. Just the kind of, you know, a big honor as well as a great learning experience for me. I loved every second of it. It was awesome. And it was, you know, it was a lot of work, but at the same time, it was just great to kind of sit down and immerse myself in this, you know, incredible program. You know, it was great to learn the game and to learn the teams, the big names, the history behind the sport. And I loved every second of it. So we'll actually go through here and we'll talk a little bit about each of these teams that won championships in the NWBA Dalton Juniors National Tournament. At the Division I level, you know, surprise, surprise, the Dallas Mavs. And, you know, Sean, I'm sure you've heard this team's name so many times in the last few years and really in the last two decades, because this is their 17th championship since 1997.
Yeah.
I mean, in almost 25 years.
Yeah, they're, you know, good.
They are incredible.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah. Bobby Nickelberry, fourth MVP since 2012. I mean, that's just incredible. They beat the Wausau Bucks. Wausau, of course, standing for the Wisconsin Adaptive Sports Association, beat them 76-67. So it was, you know, all things considered, and I watched this game. Will Waller, the NWBA CEO, he was sitting there next to me. He was calling the games with me, and I mean, this was, as much as it doesn't sound like that close of a game, there was a time when the Mavs were down 22-12 against the Bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good game. I mean, even in the all the way up until, I don't remember what minute mark, but it was kind of back and forth, really close game, even in the fourth quarter. Dallas pulled away at the end, but it's just, you know, you talked about Bobby Nickelberry. He's just so big, but his shooting touch is just unreal. Like the way he just he essentially makes everything. He shoots it, you think it's going in. And you know, it's pretty incredible for somebody that's as big as him. He's, I don't know how big he is, but he's huge. He's like Shaq down there with a nice shooting touch. Yeah.
He's Shaq, but if Shaq could make threes as well, you know.
Yeah, right. I mean, that buzzer beater he made, that it didn't count, but it was just, it was so freaking smooth, and it was from about, I don't know, 35 feet maybe, just nothing but net. That shot was in itself unreal.
Oh yeah. No, I remember sitting there with Will and just watching that go in, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was stunned. I mean, of course it was Bobby Nickelberry who, you know, took the shot, but it was just like, we had a feeling that it wasn't going to count. There was a lot of, you know, controversy at halftime. You know, the officials were still conferring with each other, trying to figure out if it was good or not. They decided eventually that he didn't have enough time to set up the shot. Yeah. But I mean, it was virtually from like half court.
Yeah.
And even still, just an impressive showing by them. So 100%, they dominated Division One. They deserve that championship. But of course, moving down to Division Two, the ABC Medical Legends, as much as, you know, you were like, oh, you know how it turned out.
Yeah.
You fought Fort Lauderdale really, really close for, I would say, all of, you know, what would it be, a full game and a half. I mean, I know they kind of pulled away in the second half of that second game, but given that you had six players, Sean, and I mean, you know, you can diagnose it all you want. What I saw was a very tough performance by all of you, as well as Fort Lauderdale. They're a great team, and of course, give them credit. They're the number one seed.
Yeah.
I think y'all played great from what I saw. So just, you know, take that for what you will.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
We played hard. It was just a bad matchup. From the end of the first quarter to the fourth quarter, it was tough. So
yeah, I mean, hey, it's going to happen, and of course, you know, the higher the divisions get, it's hyper competitive. But
yeah,
you know, Fort Lauderdale, phenomenal performance. Congrats to Brittany Gustafson for winning the Sportsmanship Award, as well as Ryan Hines for first team all tournament, Carolina Linguita for second team. So, you know, there's, you know, even though you got the runner up trophy, you did get some accolades, you know, you came back decorated.
The funny part is how we bookend really good games. There's a great D3 game before us, and then they had the great Dallas and Milwaukee game after us, and our game was just a blowout. But I guess you can't get all three good games, huh?
You know, yeah, we're just not that lucky, I guess, but it's all right. You know, we were still cool.
It's kind of cool trying to follow up that D3 game with, you know, Rashad and I know, you know, one of the women's player next year, Rachel, she was playing for them, and it was tough, but it was cool. It was good. It was cool seeing all those games kind of back to back to back. So
definitely. And you know what's also some consolation is both of the varsity and prep championships were also very entertaining. So, you know, you don't have to. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
We were the only ones that didn't live up to the bill, I guess. Huh?
It's all right. It's all right. You know, just because you're the one disappointment of the championship games. You know,
yeah, right.
It's all good. It's no problem.
sorry, NWBA.
Yeah. No. And all things considered, it was a great day for championships there on that Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Division III level, we had an upset. So this was also a very interesting game. Number two, Lakeshore, upsetting the Charlotte Rolling Hornets, 62-57. You know, there are just a ton of well-known names on this Charlotte Rolling Hornets team. Donnie Langford, you know, one of the best three-point threats in the history of this game, as well as Candace Law. They were back and forth with each other, just, you know, passing back and forth, disrupting Lakeshore in the middle. I mean, just all the time. But Lakeshore, they came rolling back. I mean, they were down by a lot at one point. And I think it was in the I think it was in the fourth period, they came back 59-53. They took a 6-point lead after being down by like seven. And they just completely took control of this game late. Another, you know, I want to give huge props to players like Preston Howell. He was a varsity level player who played in. He did incredible. And he played, I want to say it was two straight games. Preston played in the semifinal for the Rolling Hornets, their junior team, literally like 30 minutes before. And he goes off, right? But they lose that game. He does incredible, comes back, and he's starting for Charlotte in the next game, and he still contributes playing against adults. So he goes two straight games. He's putting up points like crazy, but they lost both games. And, I mean, huge credit to Lakeshore. That's just their the talent and the effort there. But, I mean, that man deserved every bit of the first team selection that he got because he was incredible. And I was watching him all tournament. And he was just blowing me away. I thought he did such a great job. So huge props to number 23, Preston Howell. And at the same time, Charlotte had four members of the first team, all Division III team, on their team. And Lakeshore still beat them.
I'd have to say youth kind of held true in that. Yeah, I mean, Rashad, he graduated from Alabama last year. And then they have Jonah. Jonah's really great, too. He's just when he's on, he can score, and he's just a really good player. They have, you know, they had Jay Reed, who he played at Alabama for a year or two back when the program was getting started. So they got some guys that have been around and some guys that have really kind of done a lot in Wheelchair basketball, and they just kept playing hard, and they eventually came back and they won. But that was a great game, and you know, I personally, a lot of credit to Rashad. I played with Rashad here at Alabama, coached him for I think 2 years or 1 year, and it was cool seeing them win a championship, right? And then, you know, one of the women's players when I was here, Mouse, Alyssa Roth, she was one of the coaches. So it was just cool seeing the, you know, the Alabama connection. And I grew up in Charlotte. So I was especially some of those kids I got, you know, when I was playing there, I remember them being kids and stuff like that. So it was kind of an interesting little where my life intersected between Lakeshore and Charlotte. But yeah, it was an awesome game. And congrats to Lakeshore on pulling it out, and, you know, Alabama baby.
I was gonna ask. I mean, you know, with that, like you just said, with that intersection in your life between those two teams, did you find yourself subliminally rooting for one team over the other, or was it whoever had the most Bama connections at this point?
I'll be honest. I wanted Lakeshore to win, to be honest with you. So I'm not really close with most of those older guys on the Charlotte team. They're not, most of them aren't the guys that I grew up with when I was a kid. So I wanted Lakeshore to win. Yeah, like I said, big love Rashad to death. So it was awesome to see him kind of get to win. And, you know, all he talked about last year was, you know, or was just going to Lakeshore and helping them win. It was just cool to see it actually happen. So that is, I didn't know if he'd be able to do it, but they did, and it was cool to see.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, there are some Alabama connections. Congrats to future Alabama freshman Rachel Dowd, Rashad Bennett, of course, an alum, and for the a freshman on the men's team coming up this year, Josh Hibbs. He got that runner-up spot for Charlotte. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of Alabama representing in a lot of these championship games, you know. Absolutely. It's cool to see the brand kind of spread a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And then the at the junior division, the varsity level, the number one seeded Cincinnati Dragons beat the Blaze Sports Junior Hawks, the red team, 55-50, and that was another battle that just came to the very end. And I'll tell you, Sean, like, that was of the 17 games that we were scheduled to broadcast that I was going to be doing commentary for. And Kelsey, of course, was helping me with technical production as well as, you know, camera work. That was our last game, and we were like, you know, we're running on fumes, and we're just like, so we're, you know, running on adrenaline and just excited for this whole thing to kind of wrap up. And this game's going back and forth. And of course, the very last game goes to overtime. Mm-hmm. And we're just like, oh, all right, this is how we got to end it. What a better way to end this, this entire tournament. This was tied 46-46 after regulation. I mean, this was just such a back and forth. These two teams seemed so evenly matched. And at the very end in overtime, I mean, I don't know what happened, but Cincinnati just went on a run and they just took control. And I mean, they were, I think it was a 7 or 9 point run, and Atlanta just had to take a timeout. And at that point, you knew, I mean, it was over. So the varsity national champions, the Cincinnati Dragons, nonetheless, even in this game, some good Alabama representation. You had some future players, Eric Francis, Seth Early, and Megan Miller, all of them, you know, making their names known in this game. And so they're going to be some future names to watch out for. We saw a little bit of them, but I mean, Sean, I don't know if you know a little bit about some of these players, but I watched a couple of their games and they looked very, very promising.
Yeah. You know, that was definitely the best game that of the weekend. Like, just, you know, Atlanta was down the whole game and they just kept fighting and kept just showing a ton of resilience. They finally, you know, tied it up at the end. And then, you know, Cincinnati pulled away, like you said, but, you know, Eric and Seth they'll be joining us here in the fall, and Megan will be joining the women's team. And, you know, Eric had a tough game, but Eric's a really good player, and he's, you know, he kept fighting through, and, you know, he just couldn't make a basket. And, you know, that's how basketball goes sometimes. You know what I mean? Sometimes the game, just the shots don't fall and things like that. But we're excited to have them, really excited. I think they'll both be here for camp this week or next week. And just excited to have them on campus, because, you know, you see that fight in them, and that's what you need. That's half the battle, right? It's not always going to be easy. You got to be able to fight through adversity. And so we're excited to have all of them on campus and, you know, see what they can do and how they improve over their 5 years. And most importantly, you know, get their degrees and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait to watch them, and I hope, you know, I'll get a chance to, broadcast some of their games and, you know, be there for some of their early rookie moments. You know, it'll be an honor. So it'll be fun to see them in action here coming up in a few months. And,
awesome.
Yeah, definitely. We'll actually talk a little bit about camp later in this episode.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up. We'll definitely let our listeners know just a little bit about what goes into camp, what it's all about, some of the logistical aspects of it. That's coming up here in a little bit. And then finishing off this NWBA Nationals tournament recap, the junior division varsity invitational, the number one Mississippi Wildcats 30, number two Music City Thunder 20. I actually didn't get a lot of opportunities to watch any of this division's games. So, you know, it's I don't have much to say here on terms of that, but congratulations to the Mississippi Wildcats. That's just how our schedule worked out. I was broadcasting a game every time this division was playing. But regardless, I know it looked like it was a very competitive game here. So congrats to Mississippi. And then finally, at the junior division prep level, number one, Lakeshore. Lakeshore taking another championship here. Number one, Lakeshore 38. Number two, Wausau Junior Bucks 28. I believe this was their Sharks team for Lakeshore. And Jackson Horn, he was the MVP of this game. He was incredible. He had, I think it was the majority of the total of Lakeshore's points, and he looked like a future star just rising through the ranks of this division. So I think that Lakeshore's varsity team is going to have a star coming up here. He performed great. So, yeah, that's the entire tournament. It was a blast. Huge thank you to the city of Wichita for hosting it. Excited, very excited to see what next year brings for this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, and congrats to you guys, you and Kelsey, for, you know, pretty much jumping in full head of steam, first time ever doing, you know, the live stream. And, you know, I think you guys did a really good job, and so congratulations on that. And
great, thank you very much, I appreciate that. That is that does mean a lot. It was a lot of fun. It was, of course, a lot of work, and but that's to be expected. That just means, it means we care, you know, it means we really want to put out a good product. And so we feel we accomplished that. We feel like we definitely did. But now we're going to get into kind of a fun aspect of, I don't even know if you could call it fun. We figured it would be interesting to bring up what happened to us on the way back from this tournament, because it was quite the experience. Definitely a first for me, Sean. I don't know if this is something even close to this has ever happened to you, coming back from, you know, anytime that you've tried to get on or off a flight, but it seemed like we just couldn't get home. it really kind of boils down to that. I mean, I guess
slept in the airport before.
I've never slept in an airport. No,
either. It was awful.
Yeah, no, it was terrible. I literally am still you can't see it obviously because this is a podcast, but where I'm gesturing to is my left shoulder blade, like right above my bicep, because of how I had to angle my arm for like 4 hours sleeping on my arm. That muscle is still not. Oh, it's so sore. Like I can't. It hurts. It's like I can't. Yeah. Like
I did. I slept for 20 minutes because same thing. It just, yeah, it wasn't ideal.
Yeah. So, no.
At least they gave us those disposable blankets. That was nice.
Yeah, and they to give some description, they were made of essentially the same material that you erase whiteboards with, like that.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
That's literally what it was. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. It's like
definitely like recycled stuff. Like they were. Yeah, like, we can make some stuff for airport sleepers.
Yeah. This is when flight delays cause our loyal customers to miss flights, we're gonna give them recycled felt to sleep under and a pillow that is, you know, basically is basically as thin as like a you know, Ziploc bag. Like that's,
hey, well, hey, at least you got to eat your no. Yeah. All right, funny story. So when we land in Wichita, Dom, we walk into this, like, I don't know what it is, airport store or whatever, and they have these cold hot dogs, and Dom's like, who would ever eat these? Nobody will ever eat these. And we were like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess if you're hungry, you'll definitely eat one. So
looking back, that was like such foreshadowing. Like that was like just incredible foreshadowing for how the rest of this week went.
Yeah. Fast forward 5 days and we're sitting in the Dallas airport and all that's there for dinner is a frozen burrito. Just so funny how the, you know, weekend went. Sorry guys, didn't mean to stutter, the dog is in my face. So I wish that was on video, how he just jumped literally in my lap.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, crazy night. Really glad to be back in Tuscaloosa, so really, really glad. So but it was fun
yeah trip. Yeah, to summarize it, what happened was a storm in Dallas, a thunderstorm, caused tons of flight delays, and we were already leaving on Sunday, I believe it would be the 27th, and we were going to already get back late. It was probably about 1 a.m. that we were supposed to get back into Tuscaloosa, and the flight delays, you know, because of the thunderstorm, it moves from half an hour to an hour to an hour and a half, and finally, you know, our plane comes from the FW, it lands in Wichita, and we got to get on. And it takes about, I mean, the flight was supposed to leave at 7:10, even with the delays, and we didn't get off the ground until about 7:50. Yeah. And our flight in Dallas, the layover was leaving at about 9:56 was the new time. And so when I check the ticket, here's the part that confuses me, Sean, because this is like a mystery that I have yet to figure out. But on our tickets, and I checked and Kelsey saw it too, it said 1:18, flight time 1:18. So I was thinking, all right, we leave at 7:50.
Yeah.
We get there. If we leave at 7:50, you know, 1:18, okay, 18 minutes, that puts us at like, you know, 8:18, then an hour, then it's like, you know, we get there like 9:15, right about there. So we'll have about 40 minutes to get through the airport. Well, we were still in the air at 9:45.
Yeah.
Well, so what happened?
Were you asleep? Did you not hear the – so when we were flying in, at one point the pilot came on the plane and said, they've given us a new route on our flight.
Really?
Yeah, and it added – because it was supposed to land at 9:15 or 9:20 or something like that, and it added like 40 minutes to our flight or something.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah, so – That was part of the – so, like, we were delayed leaving, but then they also flew around whatever storm or whatever they were saying was preventing planes from landing. And whenever we landed at 10 or whatever, that's why. Because the other flight was delayed and we ended up – that's why we only had the 15 minutes to get from
– okay. Yeah. All right. That makes a lot more sense because I was so confused about how time just bended and mysteriously, you know, we were there.
That's what happened. They did announce that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. In all fairness, I did have my headphones on for the majority of the flight, so I probably missed all of that.
I can't blame you there.
Yeah. okay. But regardless, we get there and we've got, I mean, basically 10 minutes and we assign Kelsey to make the mile long sprint down the DFWD terminal to get to our gate. Cause of course, you know, Murphy's Law, we're landing at D4 and we got to get to D39, which is
that's a haul.
That's about, that's like a mile essentially for like DFW. Like that is a long distance.
Yeah.
And we get there, Kelsey takes off landing. And of course, you know, let's not take this opportunity to bash on this airline. We won't name the airline, but this particular airline took a long time.
Yeah.
A long time getting the chairs off the plane.
Yeah, they did.
In which there were a lot of chairs to get to and other families with athletes that had their own chairs. And I mean, they basically had like two flight attendants doing this and it took a long time and we had to run them up the jetway and, you know, get them back and forth. And there were slowly but surely coaches, you know, coming off the plane and it was just, it was tough. I mean, it was really tough. It took like half an hour, maybe more.
Yeah.
And we missed our flight.
Yeah.
And the best alternative was
sleep in the airport,
wait an entire night. You know, get there at 10. We basically got our tickets for our flight at 7 a.m. around 11 o'clock. And it was just a waiting game at that point. It wasn't even – at one point, we were even like, should we rent a car and drive 8 hours to Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, I was definitely ready for that.
Yeah. Listen, I just wanted to get home at that point. I was like, whatever we got to do, whatever saves the most time. But, it worked out. And, of course, my bags and everything were checked. So, you know, I was wearing the same clothes and I didn't have any like, toiletries or anything like that. So
I know. I didn't check my bag. And I normally do, and I was so glad that I did this. I got to brush my teeth. I got to change my clothes. It was great.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean.
I got to save the program $50, so I don't have to pay for my bag. Like, it was just a great, great decision on my part. So we're going to find a positive in the whole thing. It's check my bag.
For sure. And you know what? The positive for me was just, you know, it was getting to bond with everybody, right? It was getting closer to the team and
got to spend so much time with us.
We did so much forced time with each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was great. But regardless of just how it ended, the week as a whole, like you said, Sean, it was great. It was a fantastic experience for the program as a whole, that's our airport story. It was rough, but it's over. You know, we are off that plane now. Heading into the future here, coming up in a couple weeks, 2021 wheelchair basketball camp. That is our next topic of discussion. And, you know, just a little bit about this camp. Of course, the registered campers, it is full already. But coming up in just a few weeks, we're going to have some junior level players, kids from the ages between 12 and 19, going to be learning the sport of wheelchair basketball over the course of 3 days. They're going to get some coaching and guidance from several Alabama athletics coaches, some former team members. And, you know, Sean, this is, like I said, this is my first year with the program. My first camp, of course. I won't be here. I'll be home. But, you know, some of the origins of the camp, where did this camp start? What kind of was the inspiration to begin this camp?
That predates me as well, but I think it stems from just giving back, right? Like, everybody that has made it this far is fortunate to be in the spots that players are or the coaches are. So you just want to give back, and really you want to grow the sport, because if you don't grow the youth, then sport's going to die out, right? So that's where it starts from. It starts from just giving back and growing the sport and wanting to develop and show kids that they have an outlet that's, you know, they keep playing, if they keep training, like, they will make it, they have a chance to play in college, or, you know what I mean? You just see all these things and it kind of gives them something to work for. So, that's the main goal behind it, right? Is just give kids an opportunity, right, to better themselves. So that's the exciting part. And as far as like our athletes, it's a huge opportunity for them too, because they get to go from being players to now they're kind of coaches, right? They're learning how to teach kids, and, you know, they're learning, they're getting to share what they've learned and kind of pass it on to the next generation. And that's really what it's all about. Like I said, it's about, you know, growing wheelchair basketball and providing, you know, that outlet for kids that, you know, want to play.
For sure. It's a great event. I mean, you know, just hearing about it and the passion behind it, even in our staff meetings earlier in this year, there's a lot of excitement around it. It's got such an important, just an important meaning for this program. And so, very excited about it. And what can people expect from camp this year? What is it going to kind of look like?
I think the best part about it is it's just going to be back to normal, right? Like, last year we had to do that virtual camp, which, you know, it was good to get something out there, get a product out there. But, you know, just being able to have them on campus, being able to get them out of their houses and get them onto the court. And it's just going to be like a normal camp, basically. You know what I mean? There'll be some modifications for like safety and health and safety protocols and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously they have to stay in a hotel this time, and we don't have dorms or, you know, meal halls or anything like that. But, you know, just being able to get back to normal and have them in the gym and have, you know, we have 60 kids coming that are going to be, you know, playing basketball for 2.5 days. And it's going to be great kind of experience. And I'm excited about it. It'll be my first time as a coach, it'll be my first time at camp in 4 years. So I always enjoy having the kids. And one of my favorite things when I was a player in the camp was, you know, pretty much each player, Alabama player, gets their own team. And, you know what I mean? So like, there'll be like team portions and you get to kind of coach your team and based off of whatever the material that we just learned is and stuff. So it's cool. It's a lot of, you know, different, obviously, aspects to it, but it'll be a fun week. And we're excited to have, like I said, all 60 of those kids come and, you know, learn some winter basketball, get to play and just kind of see them.
That's phenomenal. I didn't even know the number was 60.
That's great. We increased it, I guess.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, well, given, you know, I'm sure last year it didn't happen, right? Obviously because of COVID.
Well, yeah, I mean, we did the virtual thing. So like
virtual camp,
essentially it was a combination of videos and live stuff. So we did it through the live stream actually in Blackboard. So.
Cool. Well, yeah, back to normal. A little bit of a sense of normalcy. That is awesome. Yeah. And like I said earlier, registration for this year's camp is full. But for any questions about this year's camp or upcoming camps, you can contact the camp director, Cassie Teeter. Her information is on the website. If you just look up Alabama Adaptive Athletics 2021 Wheelchair Basketball Camp, her information is on there and you can get in contact with her directly. But yes, very excited for this amazing event coming up. And another thing that we are excited for is the 2021-2022 men's and women's basketball schedule. It's basically 99% decided. I know we've been talking with Dr. Harden back and forth. I asked him just today, you know, if it was good to go ahead and just start talking about it, and he was fine with it. So to me, that means, you know, this is essentially what we're going to be looking at here for a schedule. And this is, it's great to kind of see something, just to have a schedule in front of you and just kind of, you know, anticipate what this year's schedule is going to look like, what kind of some of the fun and interesting matchups that we're going to be getting here for Adapted Athletics, in this upcoming season. And, I, right off the bat, I mean, we've got a couple, I see UTA on the schedule. You know, yeah. I see Wisconsin, Whitewater, Illinois, which always some really good matchups, and both for our men's and women's teams. These are going to be coming up. Sean, when you've kind of been looking at this schedule here, what are some of these tournaments and matchups that we're going to be going to? I know like October 15th to the 16th, we start our season with the RGK tip-off. Men's and women's, we're going to be traveling. It's going to be Alabama, ABC Medical is going to be there, Memphis, Auburn, of course, for the men's team. The Hollister Invitational, huge thing here, South Africa, they're going to be playing. That's such a fascinating matchup that they're going to be making that trip. They will be here playing. Our teams, the USA U-25 team, they're going to be here as well. Talk about just some of those matchups and just like what that means for this program to have them travel here to come play us.
Yeah, you know, I think just with the schedule in general, like the best thing about the schedule is just similar to camp. It's back to normal, right? Like and it might be even bigger than normal too, because we're playing a lot of games. You know what I mean? The goal is always to get over 30 games every season. And so that's the best part, right? Like we only played 12 games last year. So getting back to a normal schedule, you know, we'll obviously play Whitewater and UTA and Illinois and all those schools. And we'll play them multiple times probably, or, you know, twice. And then we'll play all the other schools too, the small Edinburgh, Southwest Minnesota State, Nebraska, Omaha, Eastern Washington, all those schools too. So it's going to be great getting to play all those teams and hopefully getting to play at least all of them once going into the national tournament. And then as far as like South Africa and having that U-25 team, it's a good opportunity for our program in the sense that, you know, there'll be kind of world eyes on it, right? Like you'll get to see, you know, these teams coming and playing our teams. And not only that, you'll see our facility and you'll see things like that. And you'll see how, you know, Alabama is really pushing wheelchair sports forward, right? Like, you know, really being a leader and helping grow wheelchair sport. So I think that'll be cool. It'll just be really cool to see kind of full national team train, right? Like our players will be in and out of the building and I'm sure they'll see them practice and see some of the drills we do and our coaches can learn from those too. And you know what I mean? And then finally, when we get to the games, it'll just be a different look other than some of the college teams, right? Like you talk about like Memphis and, you know, playing the ABC legends and stuff like that. It gives you a little bit of variety. It gives you a little bit of extra games, extra push, stuff like that to kind of work on some things. And then, you know, having a full national team like that's really good because, you know, you really can kind of see how good your team is and what kind of chemistry and stuff you can build in those kind of games. So I think it's cool. It's going to be really awesome having a program like that here. And you know, I mean, never know, maybe they have some athletes that would want to come to college later and stuff like that. So I think just having them there for the full exposure is going to be really cool for our program and really cool for wheelchair basketball kind of worldwide, is bringing the college division to at least the continent of Africa, you know? So,
yeah, 100%. I am so excited for that matchup right there. And that, of course, once again, October 29th through the 30th, that's the Hollister Invitational. We will 100% be live streaming that if you cannot make it in person. So you will definitely get an opportunity to see that. That, of course, will be on our website. You can go to that link and we'll have a watch tab and you just click it. And it's as simple as that. We will be live streaming the games from that tournament. And of course, you know, the other thing that I've kind of noticed here, as I've been looking through all of these matchups, we have a lot of travel going on this year to some far places. And I don't know if this is just kind of a normal year. Again, first year here, I'm making rookie observations, but going to UTA, Whitewater, the Pioneer Classic in Birmingham, Turnstone Invitational, Indiana, then to UTA. So we'll be going to UTA several times because at the same time, College Nationals is also in UTA. So at least three times during this schedule. Arizona, the women's team is going to be making a trip out there. So flying out there, that will be a lot of fun. So, I mean, we're a national team. You know, we're going all over the place. It's really cool to see this and kind of growing the brand and spreading the Script A everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty normal, especially us going to Whitewater and UTA and those kind of places. Like, we typically go there, if not every year, almost every year. And so UTA is an easy trip for us. It's only 8, 9, 10 hours, something like that. It's not far. So, but they always have good teams there too, right? So like, and then just playing UTA is always a good opportunity too. So that's a huge part of it, is just going places where we can get good games and see, like I said, seeing almost every team in the league going into nationals. That's typically a goal of ours when we create the schedule. So
definitely. Yeah. It's so exciting to finally have a schedule here for the 2021-22 season. That official just finalized schedule will be up on the website soon. But for now, just keep sit tight. We will have it up soon. But this is essentially a finished schedule that we have been talking about here. To wrap up the second episode of season two, there was a huge development just in the last few weeks that we wanted to discuss to kind of cap off this episode. And that, of course, is the name, image, and likeness laws that have just been passed in the NCAA and pretty much nationally. You know, different states have been coming up with their own laws, and that kind of is what pushed the NCAA to finalize this. But it has a little bit of a different angle when it comes to adaptive athletics for most collegiate programs, just because the wheelchair basketball as well as wheelchair tennis and all other adapted sports are not recognized